tell you a little story, some history. When I was a kid, my grandparents took me to Perry, Illinois, which was about 45 minutes from the big bustling town of Griggsville, Illinois, where they lived. In Griggsville, Illinois, there were probably at least 3, maybe 4 stop signs, but in Perry, there was only one. But they had a cafe. It was called the Wagon Wheel Cafe. And they took me in there, and I swear everybody that came through the door was my relative somehow. I mean, this is your third cousin on so-and-so's side. Oh, how is he related? Oh, you know so-and-so, and all these names I've never heard before. So I met all my family, you know. So you guys meet your family. These are full brothers and full sisters, not third cousins. So just to make that clear. Let's pray for the message. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just like what John was saying, we just want to hear from you today, Lord. Just open our ears and fill them with your words, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this past week, I've been thinking a lot about Culpeper Christian. And in my head, like a homeschool band and all from downstairs, and then maybe, I don't know what it was, like a champions meeting or something up here or something, you know. So I got the building, but the people, I still think CCA, you know, I think old school. And I'm thinking of the people, and I'm thinking of different people. And one of the people, his memories, I saw something on Facebook, but I think you posted it, that Rachel posted. And it just reminded me of Chrissy. And Leeds has been talking a lot about Chrissy this week because we've been thinking about stuff. Mason, he was like a Barnabas to me. He was saying, hey, come over here. Let's do this. He got me as a Sunday school teacher. And then he got me as a deacon. And I don't know if it was Rod. Where's Rod? There's Rod. If it was Rod or Mason, but somebody had me preach communion messages. Did you ask me to do that? Or did Mason? Somebody did. But Rod was definitely a come-alongside kind of guy. He just very gently come alongside and just encourage you. And I'm just thinking of all these memories. And memories of food. Had good covered dish dinners. And when our babies died, a lot of people got together and brought us meals. And some of the meals, maybe they didn't taste as good as some of the other meals. And maybe those tasted way better than some of them. But it was comfort food. You know what I'm saying? Like in the spirit, like we were comforted no matter what meal somebody brought us. And like I was telling Carissa, I have a good short-term memory, but not a very good long-term memory. And then I forgot what I was doing, like where we were going or something. Like, so I guess I don't have as good a short-term memory as I thought. But the long-term memory, if you jog it, if you start refreshing it, I'll start remembering things from way back, just off the wall stuff. So if I start meditating on it, but I need reminders. I need people to remind me of stuff sometimes. And Mark, I hardly recognize you with that mask, Mark. I'm sorry, we park really, who owns a white car? We park kind of close. There's a dent in the door out there. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Anyway. But. Okay. Did I say I opened the door? I don't remember who opened the door. You'll have to jog that. Anyway, so, but he said, I know you, and I knew him, but I was like, I must have taught him for Sunday school for 6 months. And he was like, no, you didn't teach me for Sunday school. And I was like, really? I start thinking, and I remember getting car sick in their car going hiking with them. In the front of the Sienna minivan on going 35 miles an hour on Blue Ridge Parkway. Just the more we went, the more car sick I got. And I remember Yukon Gold potatoes at their house. I don't know why. These crazy memories, like, I remember these things. But I didn't remember him when he was saying, I know you. Like, I ate dinner with him. I went hiking with him. I know him, too. But if you jog my memory, I'll remember it a little bit. And speaking of food, I can't stop thinking about John Ford's bacon. Anybody's been to the men's breakfast, I don't know, it's like very crispy, but not burnt and not no fat, fatty. It's like really good. I was like, how did he cook it like that? It was really good bacon, and I've been eating turkey bacon for 10 years. So it was really good bacon. It was good. So, and don't think I didn't notice the serving and the giving that was going on, you know, like serving and giving through bacon. And in just a couple of hours, I noticed these things, serving, giving, evangelism with Steve, and shepherding with Will. You know, I noticed these things. And we ate bacon too. You know, that was just icing on the cake, you know, and it was good. And so everyone was around eating the word. And I was just got through reading Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel. And I'm like you. I'm like, I had this app on my phone. They have an app. It's a chronological Bible reading in a year. And I started in June. And I'm like, I can't take it. Leisure's like, well, just sit down and read it in one day, you know. It was like all judgment and condemnation. But when you see these little nuggets, it's right. It really blesses you when you see something that God's thoughts towards you are good, you know. And these nuggets of blessing, it's like, wow. And so just eating the word. And when I was in Jeremiah, I have a little, like, little teeth mark in the corner of my Bible on Jeremiah 15:16. There's this guy, Pastor Robinson. Remember him, Dennis? He actually took a bite out of the corner of his Bible to remind him to eat the word. Your words were found, and I ate them. And we ate bacon, too. But so now the scripture, 2 Timothy 1, 4-7. And speaking of the word, we'll use some word, right? Some of the word. 2 Timothy 1, 4-7. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Sometimes we forget. We need to remember. We need our mind jogged. The genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And I was thinking about my grandma, and you know, some of us have so many great people in our lives to think back to. And I don't know how old people go back in the church here. But first, you could say at the Sun House with Mason Hutchison and then Sandy Young instead of your grandma and your mom. You know, or you could say and go back. You know, you could say people that have influenced you. People that have influenced you, remember them. Remember the genuine faith that is in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. So this is a gift, and I don't think it's talking about the specific gifts of the Spirit, but it's a gift, like grace to you, that God gives it, and to stir it up, to stir it up. And this word means again life's fire, again life's fire. Anno zo pereo, anna, again, zo, like Zoe, life, and pereo, fire. And it's the Greek tense of a repeated action. So just keep stirring it up. Don't stop stirring it up. Keep stirring it up. And like coals on a fire, you blow on them, you stir them, you get them going. And if you burn hickory and you don't have an ash box, you know what I mean. Every morning we got to go down there and get them stirred up and burning again. And but we can also hose them down. We can hose down those coals. The world, our own flesh, and the devil can hose them down. And someone young, you could say, hold on, you're brand new. You don't know anything. Someone old, you could say, you're stale and you should retire. And, you know, and we can hose them down. We can hose them down. But don't hose them down. Stir them up. Stir them up. Get them hotter. Timothy, you know, let no one despise your youth. There's a youth. There's one. There's one. There's a few youth in here. There's, you know, don't let people despise your youth. You know, actually, when I'm coming in here, I could be a youth, right? No. Don't let people despise your age either, right? What is that? Psalm 92:14. It talks about bearing fruit in your old age, but I went and read it. It also talks about being fresh You know, we eat the bread of life. We don't like stale bread, but fresh bread's good. Almost every day we eat fresh bread. If you're Asian, you eat fresh rice. You know, it's like, it's good. It's good. Just stir it up. Stir it up. And so sometimes we drag ourselves in the church. Or maybe, I remember back when we were first married, I remember specifically an incident at Culpeper Christian Assembly. Thinking of those memories. I was stirring up my memories. Coming to church, and we were in a fight. My wife and I, we never fight, but we were in a fight. And we get to church, and it was the best message ever. And it was like Satan was trying to prevent us from hearing that message, you know? And it's like, stir it up. Stir it up. Remind yourself. But here, Timothy stirs himself up. He stirs himself up, but Paul reminds him to remind himself. So sometimes we need people to remind us to remind ourselves. Stir yourself up. Stir it up. Stir it up. And be continually stirred up. Or if we're not, we can be subjected to being hosed down, to receiving negativity, right? And you watch enough news and you won't be stirred up. You'll be hosed down. There's a lot of demons that jump on board, too, with different things in this world. And our own flesh. And so why did Timothy need the gift stirred up within him? So he could stir up the congregation he had. So he could stir up other people. So stir it up. So go stir other people up. And a lot of times with the giants we have, the world system, COVID, whatever, people settle. People settle. They're like, I'll coast and hope I can make it, you know? And that's like, maybe you're not being hosed down, but you're just kind of settling. You're not stirred up. But remember the faith of Lois and Eunice. Remember, stir it up, stir it up. And so sometimes it's great to remind me of what I already know. And maybe I just forgot it for a second, but remind me. And instead of fellowshipping with the word, with the world, I'll fellowship with the word, you know? And instead of fellowshipping with the world, I change my mind. That's called repenting. All it is changing your mind. Be like, oh, I was thinking that way. Oh, I remember. I'll think this way. With God, fellowship with a different spirit. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it's a gift. It's God's grace. He gives it to us. He gives us this spirit. And so if it's fear, it's not of God, right? If it's fear, that's not God. But if it's love and power and a sound mind, that's God. And he gave it to us. Stir it up. That's the gift he's given to us. Stir it up. And Moses, he said, be strong and of good courage. And then later on, it was said, let's go take the land, for we are well able. They got stirred up in those words. The words that God gave Moses for them. Then they said, we're well able. Caleb and Joshua, right? And we're well able. Well, we're well able to have unity. Stir it up. We're well able to love God. We're well able to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember? Do you remember? We're well able because who does it? It's God who does it. So we're able to follow God. And yeah, maybe it's not the revival of the 70s, but God's still here. He's still on the throne. We might not sense it like we did in the 70s or whatever, but he's still on the throne and we remember. And maybe some of you young people remember last week. Remember? You know, like you need to be remembered too because Timothy was young. Isn't it funny? The older guy was reminding the younger guy. You got young people always reminding the old people. Well, the older guy was reminding the young guy, right? Remember? And remember last week? And then get up, Barack. Deborah, a woman, motivated him. So women, stir up the men. Men stir up the women. Old people stir up the young people. Young people stir up the old people. New believers, stir up the joy of your salvation. If you got saved 1 hour ago, stir it up. Amen. Stir it up. And then guess what that happens? If a new believer is stirred up, they stir me up. I love it when I meet a new believer that's on fire for God. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Stir me up. And so new believers, in the joy of your salvation, remember, didn't our hearts burn within us? Right? On the road to Emmaus. But when we got saved, when whatever happened in your life, stir it up. And old believers, remind old believers. Remember, didn't our hearts burn within us at the Sun House? I wasn't there, but you know, Dennis, didn't your heart burn within us when your dad preached and Pastor Stevens preached and people that have gone by the way preached? I got lots of memories like that. Like, but if I'm not thinking about them, I don't remember them. Like, I don't know how I knew Mark, but now I think about it, I know how I knew Mark. I don't remember. I know God stirred me up in the past, but when I start really thinking about it, I remember those specific moments. And sometimes you might remember, like, something 5 minutes ago. That's one thing I love about this church. You guys have what's called fellowship. You know, when the message is over, a lot of times you'll talk about the message, you know, or the Word of God. You know, it comes up often. The Word of God comes up in your, just in your conversation. And it's great. Remember? I got a couple of examples of that. So God had given me a conviction. God might not have given you the conviction yet. I pray He will. But God gave me a conviction. I should go soul winning, intentionally evangelizing. Not just have tracts in my pocket, and when God leads me, sometimes He would, I'd give them out. But actually be like, okay, I'm going to go talk to somebody. Now, this is scary. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to approach somebody I don't know, and I'm going to say something about God. And if you open your mouth, you'd be surprised how He fills it, you know, if you just take that step of faith and do it. So I had this conviction. So I did it for a long time, and then I started slacking. And I got to the point where I wasn't doing it at all. And then Carissa says, how come you're not going out evangelizing anymore? And I said, how come you aren't? She said, let's go. And I said, let's go. And we've been going up for a few years now. And my other girls, too, they caught the fire, too. Carissa stirred us up. And one time this was last year, I think, we were taking them up to this camp called Camp Life. It's up in the Poconos. And my brother-in-law loaned me his van, so I take his kids, too. And it's a brand new Toyota Senna hybrid minivan with all the bling bling. It took me like an hour to figure out, and a radar detector that you're not allowed to use in Virginia, but you're allowed to use in Pennsylvania. You know? And like all this stuff is going on. And I'm like, and then we get up to this Wendy's up in, I guess it was up in Pennsylvania somewhere. And we come out, and there's this guy with his hood up in his car. And we're waiting for the people we're with. Some other people from Florida followed us up there that were friends of them, and I just met them, Legion knew. But so we come out, and the guy's there. He looked Hispanic. I thought he was Hispanic. And Chris is like, oh, Dad, why don't you ask him what's wrong? And I'm like, well, we don't really have time for that. He was like, well, they're not coming out. Ask them, you know, maybe you could help them. You know a little bit. And I was like, well, what's wrong with your car? And he's like, it's the battery. I was like, oh, yeah. Probably need a jump, right? He's like, yeah, it's happened before. I need a jump. Definitely need a jump. And I'm like, I can't jump him in this new car that's not mine, that I don't even know if you can jump with a hybrid. I read later you could. But at the time, I was like, I'm not jumping with somebody else's car, you know, brand new car. And Carissa was like, ask them, you know, the people that are following us up there, because they've got an older Honda CRV. And I'm like, okay, you know, I want to get on the road and, you know, it's like, stop, you know. So Chris is just like nudging me. So we get the jumper cables from them, and they jump the car. They're happy to do it. And the guy's like so happy. And we start talking. I start talking. I said, well, God bless you. And he's like, oh, you believe in God or something? And I start talking to him. He's like, yeah. And come to find out, once he started talking, I knew he wasn't Hispanic. But he's an Indian guy that owned a gas station in North Carolina. And there's a Christian that's been coming in every week witnessing to him. So this was just like confirmation for him. It was just encouragement. Plant another seed, you know, and God had me do it. But Carissa stirred me up. And there's lots of stories like that in this church, in your life, in my life. There's lots of stories. Stir it up. Here's Haggai. He got stirred up and spoke. He stirred up the leaders and stirred up the people. Haggai 1:13-15. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the people, the spirit of Zerubbabel, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. The Lord stirred them up. So be open to the Lord stirring you up. This is 2 Peter 1:12-13. I will not be negligent to remind you. There that is. You'll see reminding and love going a lot with stirring up. Will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. What things? Well, we'll see about that. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. There it is, the old reminding the young. You know, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep on doing it. And stir it up by reminding you. And this is 2 Peter 1:5. This is what he was reminding him of. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. Don't quit. Fight, fight, fight. Don't quit. Run the race. Don't quit. In these last days, don't quit. Continue all the more. And in last days of COVID excuse, a lot of times it's a valid excuse, but sometimes it's not. Don't quit. And to brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness love. And then this is 2 Peter 3:1-3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. So there's nothing wrong with their minds. They're pure. They know the word. They've been taught. They just need a reminder. Remind them. Stir them up. Stir them up. But that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first. So anything biblical is game to stir up, right? That mindful of the words of the holy prophets and apostles. You know, that's the Bible. Stir up with the word of God. Stir it up. Knowing first that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers, people, spirits, they're going to come. They're going to laugh at you and say, look at that little fox. You're not doing nothing. That wall's going to fall down. Little fox will break that wall down. You know, and they're going to scoff. But let your mind be stirred up and stir up other minds. How? How do we do that? By way of reminder. We need reminders. The words of the holy prophets and apostles. You know, in the Bible, they repeat stuff. If you look in the story of Acts, they repeat Paul's salvation like many times, like three times, maybe four, and it's like, why do they keep repeating it? Because it's important. It's stirring you up on salvation and that God called them. And they keep saying, like, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who brought you through the Red Sea and through provided for you in the desert and your sandals didn't even wear out, and then held back the waters of the Jordan and conquered kingdoms. That's the God. You know, that's the God we serve. They keep saying, like, this is your history, right? This is your history, because the history is his story and Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? That's our history. Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. We've got some enemies. And the Lord's a man of war. And little David, now, we're not talking about the big David, the one that's a mighty warrior that's like conquered lots of people. This is little David, who's a shepherd, little guy. He's the little brother. He comes in. Little David. Now, he didn't just kill Goliath. He stirred him up. When he chopped his head up and held it up, he stirred it up. He's like, there's victory. Let's get him, boys. And they went and they attacked the Philistines and they won. Everybody was stirred up and they went and they won. They won. And we have the armor of God. We don't have Saul's armor. We have the armor of God, right? And we have a sword of a spirit. And the sword is an offensive weapon. And it's like, don't withhold your sword from blood. And proclaim it. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. Proclaim it to the atmosphere. Proclaim it to your family. Proclaim it in your church. Proclaim it in Culpeper. Proclaim it in Virginia. Proclaim it in America. Proclaim it in the whole world. The word of God. He reigns. And he's the King of Kings. Timothy was young. David was young. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I think, too, he's given old people that spirit, too, of love and of power and a sound mind. Caleb said, give me that mountain when he was in his 80s. Right? Give me the mountain. A mountain. We went to West Virginia, and this pastor went up to this door, and this old lady was like, I'm 76 years old. I can't come all the way out on the porch and talk to you. And he's like, what are you talking about? This 83-year-old lady is following me up the hill to talk to you. You better come out here and talk to her. And this other lady was crawling up the hill and to tell him about Jesus. She was 83 years old and came out there. And I was like, wow. And the lady came out on the porch too. And Hebrews 10:24. The navigator Will Spillman quoted this at the men's breakfast. Let us consider one another to stir up love. There it is again. To stir up love and good works. Don't stay in neutral. Don't let the coals just be sitting there. Don't stay in neutral. What happens when teaching Carissa how to drive a stick shift car, and all of a sudden, sometimes you'll hear a rrrr, like for no reason. It's like, when the clutch is in or the car's in neutral and you push the gas, what happens, Rod? But the engine revs, but it doesn't go anywhere, right? It's like, don't stay in neutral. In order to steer a car in the direction it's moving, especially somebody might remember when they had cars without power steering. I had an old truck. You got to get that thing moving in order to turn it, you know? And if you get moving, you can steer it a lot easier. And you ever want to visit somebody and you put it off? You just put it off. I should visit that person. It's kind of late. I don't want to go in the dark. I'll do it another day. And you just keep putting it off. But if you just go, God will give you words. Just go, you know? And Mason Hutchinson, he had his car moving. Remember? He'd come by my house with a plant, drop it off, say a couple words of encouragement, and I'd be like, where'd he go? He's gone. It was 5 minutes, and I was encouraged. I was like, how many people is this guy encouraging, you know? It's like, remember? Stir it up. But it really encouraged me. And Ezra, I heard this, that and when they were leaving Babylon, only 3% of the people went back to build the temple. And 97% were like, this has nice palm trees, good house. Our house is already built here. It's really good food. You know, and 3% were stirred up and went back. So the gift of, different gifts, like even though I was saying that verse wasn't about the gifts, but you can stir up the gifts because that's in the Bible too, right? Stir up hospitality. Stir it up. Invite people over to your house that aren't going to repay you. Isn't that biblical? Stir it up. Stir it up. When someone sins against you, stir up the gift of mercy. Stir it up. Serving, stir it up. Stir up the bowl of soup. Stir up the bowl of chili. Stir up the cake batter. What else can you stir up? Stir up some scrambled eggs. You know, serving, stir it up, stir it up. And there's probably a lot of other things you can stir up. You can probably stir up some JB Weld and fix somebody's car or something, you know. I don't know, there's probably something, epoxy or something. Paint, yeah, stir up some paint. Stir up a lot of things. But you stir up the serving. It's not the paint or the eggs or whatever. It's the gift that God has given you. And stir up encouragement. get him a flower and a plant. Go give it to him and say a couple words. And you don't have to stay long. Stir up my prayer life. Stir up the vision into going into all the world. Stir up your faith. Stir up giving. Stir up what God has given you. Grace, right? And I'm going to stir up your prayer life. Ready? Remember when our two kids died, you guys prayed for us. And I know you prayed for our other kids that didn't die. And here they are. And you prayed for Legia, and here she is, still walking with God. And you prayed for me, and here I am, still walking with God. Amen. God answers prayer, right? Stir it up. If I get stirred up by the Word of God, the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, I'll stir other people up. It stirs other people up just to see me that way, even if I don't say anything to them, right? You ever look at somebody in the eyes who you know have been with God? It's like, but if you're in sin, you're like, you kind of don't want to look at them. But if you're like walking with God, it's like this light. It's like nice. It's like, wow. And I was thinking, we don't have to worry about people that don't want to walk with God, that mock. They can mock. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners who wanted to hear. They weren't mocking him. They were listening to him, right? The Pharisees were mocking him. And if you have half-dead people around you, just love them. If you love them, the love of Christ compels us, right? It constrains us. And they won't have any other choice but to get stirred up, because the love of Christ constrains us. And it's not primarily about numbers. The church is kind of an organization, but it's more of an organism, right? And we were talking about there. We heard of churches, they have computer metrics and church marketing. Like, what do the people want? And then we'll give it to them to get them to come. And I don't know how I feel about that. You know, I don't know. That can cross the line, right? Because you got to leave room for the Spirit. And I'm all for fish hooks and, you know, having breakfast and attracting people with different things. And then you preach them the gospel. But the church is an organism. And if we get stirred up in the Spirit, in the Word, then it's just people see it, right? And they'll remember and they'll be drawn. And Mark 6:68, I don't know if you remember that story, but Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part in the kingdom. And I think it was 5,000 people left. The first preacher that had 5,000 people left and had left with 11. He wasn't pandering to what they wanted to hear, right? But he was stirring them up in the kingdom like they would know later too. Like sometimes, I was actually telling Alan Helwig, he gave me a verse a long time ago when I became a deacon, and I was like, why did he give me that verse? I don't need that verse. Like, I mean, I need it. It's the Word of God, but it wasn't special. But in a couple years later, it sure was, and it was like, the Spirit knew why he was giving it to me, you know, to stir me up later. And So 5,000 left, and Jesus said, are you also going away? So the 5,000 that leave should not affect the 11 that stay. And if Jesus had walked away and 11 followed him, the 5,000 that stayed shouldn't affect them. You know what I'm saying? Like, be with Jesus, because where else can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. That's where it's at. He's got the words of eternal life. And we're here to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Gross. Gross. That offends me. Well, let God love you and you'll see. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Chuck Colson said, there's a danger in being normal. Don't look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of the Word. If you look in the mirror, you're going to get hosed down. If you look in the mirror of the Word, you're going to get stirred up. Music. Like, let's really worship God with our heart. Bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Music, a lot of times it reminds us why we're here to worship the Lord, but it reminds us of attributes of God and how great God is. and how faithful he is. And you could go on and on, you know? It stirs us up. Music reminds us. I was thinking about David dancing in front of the ark, and he was stirred up. He wasn't stirred up by the music. He was stirred up, and he didn't give a rip what anybody thought. You know, he wasn't normal, right? He didn't care. It's like he was stirred up because the ark was back in its proper place. The ark had come back to Jerusalem, which represents the presence of God and the mercy of God. And it's here. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, so they shall be called sons of God. Get stirred up and be a peacemaker. Be so peaceful. So, so peaceful. Get stirred up by the very name Melchizedek. What does Melchizedek mean? King of Salem. Shalom, shalom. King of peace. Get stirred up by that. He's the king of peace. And I guess I was thinking about stopping here, but I guess I'll give a little bit more. If there's anyone who's offended, if there's anyone bitter, I plead the peace child, the peace, Melchizedek, the king of peace, and the peace child. And how many people have ever read The Peace Child? I read it a long time ago, so if I get the story wrong, just go with the meaning behind it. But so, you know, in the Bible, when the promise came to Abraham and Sarah, Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed at that promise. And God said, why'd you laugh? He was like, check. I'm checking you. And she's like, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh. You know, so like only you and God know. If you're bitter and God says, why are you bitter? Don't say, I'm not bitter. You know, I'm fine. I'm bitter. But if you're bitter, plead this peace child. And here's the story. And in my long memory, I'm trying to stir up my remembrance of the peace child. It's an old book that I read 20 years ago or something. But so these people, this tribe, a missionary went to a tribe, and they honored deceitfulness. And so they would like befriend somebody and get them close, and then they would kill them and they would eat them. And that was like, this guy's a hero. He got them in a place where he could kill them and eat them, you know? And this was like sick. And so the missionaries, they witness to him and they pray and they go on and go on. And finally people started receiving Christ. And he, in the process of this, he asked this guy, he's like, you know, why won't you forgive the other tribe? And they said, well, there's only one way that can happen. And he's like, what's that? Ancient legend, you know, this is how it happens. The chief of one tribe has to give his child to the chief of another tribe to raise, and the chief of that tribe has to give his child to the chief of this tribe to raise. And then if you're getting, you know, ready to war, you say, the peace child, you know. You don't want your kid to be in the middle of this. And so they did that, and then they began to have some peace and forgiveness, and then there was they set up a clinic. And this one Indian guy was working at the clinic, and he was helping people get out of the canoe to get in the clinic. And this guy comes up in the canoe, and he won't help him get out. And he's severely injured. He's severely injured. And he needs healing. And the doctor comes, or the missionary comes along. He's like, come on, we got to get this guy out. We got to get him in the clinic. He's like, I'm not getting him out. He's like, why aren't you getting him out? He's like, because he killed my child. And the missionary's like, what do I do? What do I do? And he's like, I plead the peace child. And he's like, you don't understand. I gave him my child as the peace child, and he ate him. And he said, no, I plead the peace child, the one that God gave to you. And the guy got the guy out of the boat, and he took him into the clinic. Is that amazing or what? I mean, the peace child, Melchizedek, king of peace, prince of peace, mighty God. And so stir up forgiveness. Stir it up. Remember a book like that. You know, remember a message like that. Remember a word from God. Remember, how about this? Stir it up. Forgive as you were forgiven. Think of all your sin and what God's forgiven you of, and then you can forgive other people of stuff too. And this, finally, Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. Stir up God's heart. He's not going to put out the fire. Stir it up. And it's nothing to strive about either. It's like something the Spirit has already shown us, right? It's a gift from God. We just submit to it and walk in it, in his word. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. And we pray that if there's anyone here who's never received Christ as their Savior, and you heard that part about there's joy and salvation, we invite you to have joy and salvation. There's no greater joy than to know that Christ has paid for your sins and the Father has forgiven you, Lord. And we just invite you to pray. Say, God, I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and I receive that as payment for my sin. Forgive me of my sin. And we just pray that you would stir us up today, this week, this year. Just keep stirring us up, Lord. And help us to stir each other up and ourselves up too, Lord. In you, in Christ. And protect us from the hose, from being hosed down. Protect us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Help us to concentrate on your word and who you are, to receive thoughts from your throne. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.